The Tom Woods Show, episode 1983.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, creating an online course can be an excellent way of establishing yourself as an authority. It's also a great first product. And if you know what you're doing, it can generate you some real smackers. But how do you do it? Well, I have a teensy-weensy bit of experience with online courses, and I've put together some material that takes you through step-by-step exactly what to do and then how to market that course so people find out about it and buy it. Get these free resources at tomwoods.com/makecourses. Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here. Today, I have a very special guest. It's my fiance, Jenna Leno, and we've been spending a lot of time traveling, even during COVID. We traveled quite a bit through 2019. It's kind of my making up for being an insane workaholic for so many years, and now I'm going to relax a little bit. But I still, you know, still produce the old Tom Woods Show and the newsletter and all that other stuff still gets done. But I've been doing a lot of traveling. But then, of course, 2020 came along, and that was temporarily shut down, but we found ways around that, my friends. And I thought we must have some reflections on this in terms of what we observed, and I don't know, maybe what it means for the future. I don't know exactly. So welcome, Jenna.
Hi.
Right, let's talk. So 2019, we met quite a few people on the Contra Cruise, and then we spent a couple times in New York, saw Gene Epstein, went to Boston and Fenway Park, Chicago, Philadelphia, went to Portland, Maine to see friends, went to London as well, when London was normal.
Vienna as well.
Went to Vienna for that award that the old man won. And that was great. So this is all normal. And that was all great. And then suddenly March 2020 came along.
Which we had a lovely dinner with Gene Epstein and his lovely wife, Asako, right before the world ended.
That's right. We were in New York through the first week, the end of the first week of March 2020.
We were literally leaving the airport when the news was like, you know, the end is near, you know, bring out your dead, you know.
Yeah, that was exactly the time. I mean, they were shutting down Broadway very shortly after that. But we had just gone and had a normal trip. As a matter of fact, there were people in New York trying to get folks to be willing to visit Chinatown because people were afraid of the virus and the Chinese people apparently have it. And so
we did, yeah.
We went to Chinatown.
But we didn't. We made a pact not to ride the subway because we were just being cautious.
Yeah, and plus, if you can avoid it, why not?
Yeah,
so we did use Uber. That was the one change to our lifestyle. We used Uber while we were there. And the thing is, I'm sure, you know, the Uber guy could have had it.
Yeah.
But at least there's only one Uber guy, not a million. So we did that. Visited Chinatown in New York City for the first time.
I was offered so many fake handbags. It was great.
Yeah. I had no idea what it was like because the Chinatown in London seemed to us to be basically just a bunch of restaurants, which is what nice. We loved it. It was great. But the Chinatown in New York City, you could be a Chinese-speaking person and live your whole life.
Yeah, and never speak English.
Yeah.
Because you could go to the eye doctor and the bank and
the cleaners, everything.
And traditional medicine, your pharmacy,
Yeah, so I didn't know that, but we know that now. So we thought, we're going to stand up for these unjustly maligned Chinese people and spend some time in Chinatown. So we did that. So then we get to Florida, and it's forgotten now because of the position he's taken since then, but DeSantis did initially go along with the lockdowns. And in our county, Osceola County, there was a curfew for a while.
Because COVID, you know, is very dangerous after 11 p.m.
Yeah, right. So you got to stay in your house. So, of course, these curfews are idiotic because, of course, anything you would have done after that hour, you'll just do before that hour and you'll just have more crowds than you had before. So the whole thing was
And done. I remember we really didn't know much about DeSantis. We knew about the race, the gubernatorial race, but we didn't really know of him or his personality. And I remember us talking about we thought he was a lot like W, a dumb jock guy who's just going to tell him what his people.
Yeah, did. Right. Just going to go with the flow. And honestly, I have almost never been happier to have been wrong. This guy is sharp, both in his intellect and as a politician. So he's been great. One interesting thing, we'll skip ahead just for a second. When we were in South Dakota, remember we used to see signs in the shop windows, people thanking Governor Noem? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that in Florida.
No, on Facebook, I know on his Facebook page, he has like a cult for lack of better words, of people saying, we need to make sure he's reelected. Like, we love our governor. Join this group. They're trying to mobilize.
Yeah, okay.
But they need signs
thanking
our governor.
Yeah, right, right, right. And I'm not even saying necessarily that. I just thought that was interesting that Kristi Noem would have had that level of support, that people are putting signs in the windows. So anyway, so we're stuck for about, about a month and a half. And then suddenly, Georgia opened up a little. Georgia beat Florida. Again, people forget this. Governor Kemp said that you could start reopening. And I remember we decided we're going up there. We got in the car and drove up to Georgia from Florida. I got a haircut while I was up there. And the guy who gave me my haircut gave everybody in his barbershop an earful about what a bunch of nonsense this was.
Yeah. And it attracted international press. He was telling us about the international reporters.
Oh, yeah. He was getting interviewed like crazy because he was a barber giving haircuts.
Yeah. And he was commenting, they were asking him a question, kind of like leading him to say, this is dangerous. And the person getting a haircut was a doctor from the CDC that didn't believe this stuff.
That's so
great.
So
he was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And of course, if there is a doctor who's sitting there getting his haircut, he obviously doesn't think it's dangerous or why would he?
Not the overwhelming.
Yeah. So at that time, we started trying to, eat where we could. And I remember I tweeted out a picture of a sandwich.
Yep.
I simply took a picture of a sandwich I had ordered and I posted it on Twitter and it got thousands and thousands and thousands of likes. It was a picture of a sandwich. That's how desperate people were. Yeah, the first restaurant we ate at, you remember which one it was?
Yeah, Morton's the Steakhouse, which was very, not a lot of people there.
Yeah, right. It was sparse. But those of us who were there, we knew we were part of a secret elite club, of people who were going to venture out of their homes. And of course, we've gone to Morton's in Orlando and New York City and Las Vegas. So we're quite familiar with Morton's. And the thing was, we knew that the restaurants were allowed to open. But the question was, which ones were open? So you'd have to go to Google, and Google's not always up to date because the information is changing so fast. But we found out that Morton's was open, and doggone it, we went. And they were they weren't bitter that I have to work. They were thrilled to have people back.
They were.
Yeah, so that was our little Georgia trip.
We stopped at the Mises Institute in Alabama.
That's right.
Which, I love the Mises Institute. They had, in Alabama law, they were the mask mandate. They read up on they literally took the law and read it and realized that if they closed it to the public, wink, wink, that they wouldn't be subjected to these rules, and it worked for them.
Which, of course, the Mises Institute is already closed to the public. It's not a public, it's not like the mall.
Yeah.
You can't just, you can go in and ask if you'd like, if there's somebody who can give you a tour, but you can't just walk around. So the Mises Institute, not being quote, open to the public, didn't technically fall under the mandate.
Yeah.
So they just put up signs saying not open to the public. And so the Mises Institute, the whole year, we went to the Mises University program in Auburn. We went to the Supporters Summit. Where was the Supporters Summit this year? In Jekyll Island, Georgia. And then there was an event with Ron Paul in November.
Mm-hmm.
And all these were normal.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, when we talk about our travels, when we say things were normal, there are still hints of insanity. You know, people are still wearing masks in South Dakota and things like, or not a lot of them, but there still are some hints.
Yeah.
I think the Mises Institute and their events are the closest to normal that you can get. So if you're, dear listener, thinking, I live in California and I need normalcy, I think you need to check out Mises.org/events and find an event near you.
I like the exact page. Very good. That's very good. Yeah, so you're right. You even see a handful of people masked here and there at something like that, but not very many. And of course, that was the November event with Ron Paul was the one where I gave this talk. Was it the fact-free COVID dystopia? I forget which one it was. It might have been the COVID cult. I think it was called the COVID cult. And that one was just burning it up on YouTube and Facebook.
You reached over 1 million views.
Yeah, because between Facebook, where it was embedded, and YouTube, it was over 1.5 million views already.
So what do you think happened, people?
Yeah, take a wild guess. We'll sit and wait. Of course, they took it down. And they did a, quote, fact check. Now, I did an episode refuting their ridiculous fact check. It was so stupid. And if anything, I've been even more vindicated since then. So I'll link to that, tomwoods.com/1983, if you're curious about why they took down this popular video and how I responded. I'll have that link there. So you're right, the Mises Institute has been absolutely heroic. And likewise, Porkfest, which is the big event put on by the Free State Project in New Hampshire, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, I had never been. And for years and years and years, people had invited me. And I finally decided to go this year simply because, or sorry, I went this year, 2021 and 2020, mainly because it was occurring.
Yeah.
The very fact there was a libertarian event that was not canceled, I wanted to support
them. And that was pretty normal too. I mean, there was some people, but it was great.
Yeah, it was. I mean, of course, it's an outdoor thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, unless you're a fanatic, you understand that that's not going to be super dangerous.
And so buy your tickets for 2022 because they're going to sell out because 2021 sold out and it was huge and a big deal. And
massive and wonderful, by the way.
Yeah, and wonderful.
The events, there's so much going on simultaneously. And you don't have to go to any event if you don't want to. You can just sit and chill with your friends, meet new people. And I'll tell you something. It was well-wishers everywhere I turned.
You will find your people. Like, you will find the hardcore Rothbardians, and you guys can talk about what Rothbard meant on page 206 of his, you know.
Yeah, right.
Or you can find, if you're a parent and believe in peaceful parenting or
homeschooling.
Too.
Obviously, there are a lot of gun people.
Oh, yeah. And you will find whatever you believe.
You're going to find somebody who's interested in something that you're interested in. So it's a ton of fun. I could not endorse it more strongly.
It really reminds you what if we had this Rothbardian society or a free society, what it would be like. So it's really fun to go and see how we police ourselves. There's people selling things, it's really awesome.
Well, getting back to the chronology, after Georgia, we went to Dallas because Texas was...
They weren't ready to reopen.
Yeah. They were saying that they were opening, but you get there and not much is going on. So we went to Dallas in particular. And of course, I realized that the politics of Dallas are not the same as the politics of Texas at large, but we wanted to visit Eric July. So in fact, we were able to go out to eat to Fogo de Chao. They didn't have the buffet at that
time.
No,
they had to get us the buffet.
They would bring items from the buffet to your table. But other than that, it was pretty good. And this was actually before universal masking had really taken root.
Yeah.
It wasn't that everywhere you went, people were masked, or you had to wear masks for the 5 paces between the door and your seat in the restaurant. That really wasn't going on. So it looked basically normal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a bunch of people hiding their faces. It looked basically normal. But I remember that was the first time I had... Had you ever been to a drive-in movie before?
No.
Okay. We went to a drive-in movie because they figure there's no way they can pretend that's dangerous. You're sitting in your car. So we did. We went to a drive-in movie. That was okay. Mm-hmm. So we did our best. I remember it must have been Dallas where we went to a mall and it was deserted. It was like a ghost town.
Yeah, it was Dallas. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, how are they ever going to come back from this?
Yeah.
So we had the Dallas trip. We were in Las Vegas briefly because we were going to be there for Freedom Fest. And then at the very last minute, the governor moved back a phase of reopening, which would have made Freedom Fest, Mark Skousen's annual event in July, impossible to do.
And Freedom Fest accommodated so much of them, what the governor wanted. Like, they really...
They worked with them. They were willing to be reasonable. And all of a sudden, the rug was pulled out from under them, which is why this year, 2021, they had Freedom Fest in South Dakota, which, by the way, brings an enormous amount of money with it. And that was their way of saying, Nevada screwed us. We can't trust them this year. So we're going to take it to South Dakota.
And it was really funny, though, when we were in Vegas after that event was canceled, we were walking through Caesar's Palace and there was a very crowded poker room. I mean, like, they were like packed in there like sardines.
Yeah.
We snapped a picture and sent that to Mark and made his blood pressure.
Yeah. Mark is very good about it. I email him. He gets right back to me within the day. He did not respond. I think there was steam coming out of his ears when we sent him that. So we've been to Vegas a few times, partly because you're from there.
Yeah, born and raised.
And so when we, later trip, it was after the governor had said, okay, the masks aren't necessary. And basically everybody had taken them off.
Yeah.
In the casinos, everybody had taken them off. And then by about a month later, when we went back to go to that concert, the masks were back on. And it's just like that, people would put them back on. But what has been encouraging is that we've gone to a few concerts recently. Well, this week when we saw Glass Animals, there was no mask requirement at all. It was an outdoor venue, but there was no, quote, social distancing. We were all packed together really closely. Mm-hmm. But before that, we were at the Reno Event Center, which is an indoor event center, and then the theater at Caesar's Palace to see Morrissey, who, by the way, refers to COVID as, quote, convid.
Lovely man.
You know he's sound. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's weird. He's eclectic in his thinking. He's all over the map, but he's really, really
interesting.
Those
are the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he hates the critics. I just, you know, and he ignores people who don't like him. And I just love this guy. But anyway, that event, you're coming from the casino where you had to wear a mask. And yet, I would say a majority of people, once the show started, were not wearing masks. At the Reno Event Center, it was almost everybody was maskless. Yeah. And this is, you know, Nevada is not clearly a red or blue state. And yet, everybody just knows, like, well, yeah, keep up appearances. I have to wear one at the office or whatever. But come on, like, nobody had them on. Hey, everybody, let's take a quick minute to thank our unbelievably great sponsor, Persist SEO. It will help you out of a rut if your business is not going in the direction you want to see it go. So if you're getting buried by your competition online, you can build your brand, your reputation, and your lead flow with digital marketing by Persist SEO. Or if you're a small local business, you're trying to compete against large companies in the service industry, you can increase your visibility with Persist SEO. Or what if you're not getting any leads coming in on a consistent basis, or you can count them on one hand? Well, the website search engine and conversion optimization that Persist SEO offers can help move the needle to a more prosperous business model for you. And if you're tired of cold calling, and frankly, who isn't, you can use your website as a lead generation engine. And if you're not showing up for your services on the search engines, then get found with Persist SEO's expert search engine optimization. All you have to do is call 770-580-3736 or visit them at ineedseo.help for a free website audit and consultation. That's ineedseo.help. All right. So anyway, Las Vegas, then South Dakota. So South Dakota is really heaven for people who love outdoor activities. So that means not much for the old ball and chain here and I to do because we're not
we hiked.
I know we hiked. Yeah, yeah, Lover's awesome. Leap Trail.
That
we actually hiked that.
Kind of morbid, but yeah.
But to me, it was and it's misleading because you start coming down the mountain and you can see the parking lot. You think, yeah. Oh my gosh,
and
we're here.
He gets my hopes up.
Yes, oh my gosh, we finished it. Oh no, there's like another mile.
And you're up that mountain.
Yeah, yeah. You're going back up and then you're starting to question yourself. Wait a minute, why would I be going back up this thing? Am I doing this wrong? Am I retracing my steps? What's going on?
Well, we met a buffalo.
Yeah, there's buffalo around. Yeah, I mean, what is going on here? Yeah, and in fact, when we first scoped out the trail, we were driving through that state park. And yeah, they're right on the side of the road. And though these South Dakota drivers just drive right on by. We're like, we're wondering, well, we have to back up and get out of here?
We did back up.
Yeah, yeah. People tell, no. They just you know, be at a reasonable speed. And they think you're another buffalo. So don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. So South Dakota was fun. We
had a buffet.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So
at the Crazy Horse.
No. That, yes, they had that too. But we also went to a Hoo Ha, which is like a.
Oh, two buffets.
Yeah. Which was awesome.
It's a Mongolian grill.
We could touch the same tongs that another person touched.
Can you believe that? That would be something that would bring us so much joy.
It did.
But yeah, at that Crazy Horse Memorial thing,
they have
a restaurant. I mean, of course, you can imagine what the quality of a restaurant at a, it would be like eating at the Mount Rushmore thing. Like, mm-hmm. It's like eating at the airport, but they had a buffet. And I just thought, we have to have a buffet because, of course, they shut down Sweet Tomatoes, the salad soup chain that we love because of the hysteria. So they're gone. And that makes us sad. But we had this buffet and we felt like, it's a small number of people in the world enjoying a buffet right around that time. Then in Wyoming, now here's what's interesting. We stayed at the Occidental Hotel in Buffalo, Wyoming for one night. And that's an interesting place. They have a little saloon attached to it. And it was all normal.
They were
playing music. Every table was taken. It was like you had gone through a time warp and none of this had ever occurred. Mm-hmm. And again, Wyoming is also an outdoorsman's delight. So, we traipsed around the whole state. We drove from one place to another to look around. We went to Yellowstone.
Yeah.
So we actually stayed in Montana for a day because we were so close to that. But First night we got there, we went to Jackson, Wyoming, which is where all the elites like to go. And we could not, this was in the middle of this crazy thing going on. We could not get a table at a restaurant. It was a Monday. Monday. Everything was booked. We called restaurant after restaurant. I did not think I'm going to go to Wyoming and they can't even seat me on a Monday night. So again, I don't know. The elites all wanted to be normal. I don't know what was going on. So we ended up having to get Chinese food. Nothing wrong with Chinese food. But you don't go to Wyoming thinking, I can't wait for that famous.
Yeah, he wanted an elk steak from this fun little restaurant. No, that had like a 5-hour wait.
It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. But we had so much fun. It was a neat place to visit. We went to something called Heart Mountain, which was one of the places where Japanese Americans were relocated to during World War II. And that was very much worth visiting because that was the exact place where it was. And they have a little museum and you can go through it at your own pace. And at the end, they have this little display where you can fill out a note card and share your thoughts about what you've just seen with the world. And they'll post some of them up there. And, you know, most people were saying, well, this is a terrible thing. And, you know, let's hope nothing like this ever happens again. And then you had this boomer saying, well, these people had dental care and medical care and, you know, not everybody in America has that today. And it was the sort of thing like, hey, yeah, we uprooted you from your home, sent you to a place with a totally different climate where it's freezing. You had to liquidate all your belongings and just get on a bus or a train with everything you could take.
And then when we released you from these camps, no city wants to take you because, you know, happened.
Yeah, so... But you had dental care, and I just thought, oh, boomers.
Boomers gonna boom.
Boomer cons, you're killing me. So let's see. We went to the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Yes.
And now it's St. Thomas, St. John, and St. Croix is the third one. But then there's this so-called Water Island. I don't believe that's one of the Virgin Islands. There's nothing there. That is just watering down, so to speak, what it takes to be a U.S. Virgin Island. And that ain't one of them. But anyway, so we went to St. John at the recommendation of Tom DiLorenzo, whom you've heard on the Tom Woods Show. And I love it. It fits Tom's personality so well because you can't get to St. John by plane. You have to go to St. Thomas and take a ferry to St. John. It is totally inaccessible. It has 5,000 people on the whole island. But because of tourism, it's bustling. It has wonderful restaurants, beautiful places to stay. But of course, they've been devastated by the lack of travel. We had to take a test, get a negative test to go to St. John.
And we get off the plane, and it really felt like it's the future coming near us. It felt they had the National Guard or the military or whatever.
It was some weird thing.
Pointing us into lines, and it was kind of surreal. It felt kind of sad.
Yeah. But because I had like all the paperwork that we needed all ready to go, we discovered there was actually some super deluxe express line we could have gotten into. So we get into that one and got in. But yeah, I wasn't expecting that. And there were masks everywhere in St. John, even outdoors, masks everywhere. I guess, I don't know, they figured.
Yeah, I think the people don't want their economy to collapse. So they're going to say, we are doing the best
we
can.
Right, so they're going to accommodate all the hypochondriacs who aren't coming to visit anyway.
Yeah, which is sad. You know, they don't know their customers.
So one of these times we're being driven around, just you and me, in one of these large open-air bus-like vehicles. But, you know, bus probably held like 20 people at most. And the guy is wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. And we told him, you don't have to wear that around us. This is an open air thing anyway. You don't have to wear that. And he said, was it here or St. Lucia?
It was St. Lucia.
Was it St. Lucia? Okay.
Talked about the police stops, the police barricades that he's going to encounter.
Right, where they're going to make sure he's wearing his mask. But when we were in St. Lucia, which is its own country, another island. Yeah, we were in this situation where we were in a taxi with a guy wearing a mask. We told him he doesn't have to wear it. And he said, okay, once we get past such and such checkpoint or whatever, and then he took it off like a normal person.
Yeah. In St. John, though, on the Virgin Island, we did a tour with a lovely lady who told us lots of stuff, lots of good knowledge about that. You told that to her as well. And she took it off once she left the city.
Yeah.
Because she get fined a lot of money if they caught her.
Right. Well, anyway, St. John is a great destination. And if you want to have a vacation where you do a whole bunch of things, you can just take the ferry over to St. Thomas and there's a lot to do there. And we did that once. We did a neat kind of scavenger hunt, escape kind of thing. You destroyed that kid's rock sculpture. The clue was that you were supposed to see some kind of unusual rock or rock formation. And as we're walking along the beach looking for this thing,
there's a sandcastle that is adorned with unusual looking rocks. So I go over there. Oh, no. I tell Tom to go destroy the sandcastle, and he does.
No. Wait, hold on. No, I said, no, I'm pretty sure that's not it. I love the way you're telling the story. I said, I'm pretty sure that's not it. And so then when it turned out not to be you realized I had been right.
No, okay, so it gets destroyed. I'm not going to say who destroyed it.
But, you destroyed it.
And then we were walking away from it, and I'm thinking, this stupid guy, that was the clue. He needs to go back and look harder.
And examine it harder.
And yeah. I turned my head, and there's this poor little six-year-old like,
what happened to my structure?
So I'm begging Tom to give me his wallet so I can pay the six-year-old for destroying our sandcastle. So if you're listening, six-year-old, I'm so sorry.
And then a little bit farther on, you see this rock that basically like has the name of the scavenger on it. Like, it's so obviously that's the rock. But anyway, so that's some time in St. Thomas. One other thing that might be worth pointing out is then we went to Charleston, South Carolina. I mean, we're not going through all our trips. This would take 5 years, but we went to Charleston, a city that we loved far more than we expected to. It's an amazing, wonderful place. And we were there just at the time that they were about to rescind their outdoor mask mandate. And it's very interesting to observe because we were there while they had it, and we were there immediately after they got rid of it. And sometimes when I have these mask charts and talking about health outcomes and this place wears masks and this one doesn't, what people will say is, okay, that state may not have a mask mandate, but the people there are still wearing the masks. So you can't really say they don't wear them and this state does and the states aren't doing any differently from each other. Sometimes people wear masks without a mandate. Okay, well, that's true. But the thing is, we were there.
Yeah, and we were literally, there was a handful of us that were, we refused to wear masks outside. Like, even if there's a mandate, we will pay your fine. Like, yeah, right. We're not wearing. It's so unscientific. So we were actually rebelling. And, like, it felt like we were rebelling because everyone else is wearing masks around us. So.
And then the day they rescinded it, easily half the public had taken them off.
Yeah.
So don't tell me that the mandate doesn't change people's behavior. We observed it with our own eyes.
Yeah. And talking to pedicab driver who also had the same observations we did.
Yeah. So, all right. Any last?
Should we do LA?
Oh, but were we there after the?
We were there. Remember the pub thing with Skousen?
Oh, for heaven's sake! Yeah, we did a speakeasy event, but in Orange County, California, which has been a little bit more resistant to the extent that they can be against all the craziness. And there was a pub that had been closed down for, you know, violating the rules. And I'm pretty sure they illegally opened back up and illegally served alcohol.
They had big notices on their door that their liquor license was taken away.
And screw that. And so we had a huge event with Mark Skousen and me speaking. It was packed. You couldn't fit one more person in there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, going around and introducing myself to everybody, it was unbelievable. The response I got was, thank you. Mm-hmm. We haven't done anything in like a year. We haven't done anything. This must have been February or March, maybe?
Yeah,
because it was, we had a lot going on because we had Mises. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I just remember it was a busy time. Mm-hmm. And we just took this quick little trip out there and it was so worth doing.
I think what we have found everywhere that we've been, that there is some piece of the old normal still. Like, I can get very pessimistic about how the world is going. Like, it's so easy to focus on the person in a double mask and or jogging outside in a mask. I think it's so easy to be focused on that. And what I want you to take away from this episode, dear listener, is that there are pieces of the old normal where you live still, and just to focus on that.
Yeah. And just keep encouraging that. And of course,
unless you're in Australia, which I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I know. But my approach is that I'm just going to bring my business to states or to cities that aren't making crazy demands of me.
Yeah.
Like Los Angeles. I'm sorry. I mean, I have dear friends in that area, but I'm not going back as long as I have to show vaccine proof. What is this?
We had a trip to New York City planned recently because we were thinking we were going to get married there. And they had the vaccine passport, which it's just so sad. Like, we love New York City, but we refuse to be pushed out of society.
Exactly. Well, that's it on our travels. But those of you who happen to be not on my so-called fan page, but who are my Facebook friends, of whom you are allowed to have only 5,000, you generally see our comings and goings around the country and the world. And so we are hoping to be able to resume international travel sometime. So we want those Scandinavian countries that have removed all their restrictions to remove the restriction on Americans. We want to get in there, see what's going on. Anyway, all right, at tomwoods.com/1983, I will have, what did I say I was going to put up there? I've already forgotten.
The episode about the fact check.
Oh, that's right. The episode about the fact check. All right. I'll put that up there. You'll probably enjoy that. It's just all Woods, nobody else, just me going through the alleged fact check. Being fact checked by idiots is one of the things, by the way, that does not happen inside my private group, the Tom Woods Show Elite. That does not happen because we're on a platform that doesn't do that. And we've been completely uncensored up to now. It's where you can have rational conversations with intelligent people and have a haven from all the craziness around you. So if you haven't joined me yet, it really is time to do that because we're building something really great over there. So supportinglisteners.com is the website to do that. Thanks, Jenna. Thanks to all you good listeners. We'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.